Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Girl.
Wait, what is
girl?
That?
You don't know what the last 5 years is?
No, tell me. De-virginize
me. Oh my God.
De-virginize me, Captain.
She's she and I'm me.
Not me, not Hermione. Yo.
God, what is your childhood trauma?
I am a cocksucker.
Hello! Your life's going down the toilet.
Eugene, sub surrender!
Welcome to Like a Virgin, the show where we give yesterday's pop culture today's takes. I'm Rose Domu.
And I'm Fran Trotto.
And there has never been a better time to become a patron at patreon.com/likeavirgin, where we do weekly bonus episodes, because we're going on a little hiatus.
It is time for our annual We're Tired break.
Yes, season two has come to an end, and we're going to take some time off from main episodes.
How do we decide seasons, you ask?
Very arbitrarily.
Very arbitrarily, with no rhyme or reason, and whenever we feel like it. And let me tell you, we're tired. Same time last year. Actually, it wasn't the same time last year. It was a little later last year. I can't remember. We were tired. We're tired right now. We're going to go on a little break. But lucky for you, we have some Patreon episodes in the bank, mama.
So while you might be missing us on your weekly feed, you can still hear us every week at patreon.com/likeavirgin, where we will be doing more sort of like chit-chatty catch-ups. We'll be talking about some spooky season stuff. We'll be finally watching Cats Don't Dance. Yes,
oh
Fran,
my God, I forgot that we did that.
Into submission. So become a patron and, you know, get your weekly dose of Froze. That's a combination of our names, Fran and Rose.
Oh, I was like, what? Froze? Froze?
Froze. Or Ran.
Ran. Yeah. If you miss us on the main feed, mosey on over to Patreon. If you've never subscribed there, that is patreon.com/likeavirgin.
So with that in mind, we thought long and hard, aka we texted an hour before we had to be in the studio, about what we should, you know, end season two of Like a Virgin with. And Phoebe jokingly suggested the musical Rent, and we were like,
Not no.
You, Fran, literally said, Not no.
So, and then you said, yes, and.
I did, one of the rare times I have said yes,
nor,
and.
That's not your narrative anymore, Rose. You always say yes, and.
Oh, thanks. No, but.
No, but.
So, yes, today we will be loosely discussing, you know, the rock musical Rent, which, you know, took the world by storm in 1996 when it premiered both off-Broadway and then eventually on-Broadway, was later adapted into a feature film by Christopher Columbus, probably the most misguided directing choice ever made, a live musical, and truly, like, has been weaponized by theater kids across the globe for decades now.
Weaponizing the text of Rent and their BFAs all at the same time.
When I think of Rent, and I want to know if you have the same thought, I think very specifically, and this might be a theater kid thing, of the double CD soundtrack.
Oh, I had that.
Of course you did.
I'm pretty sure I had that. Or if I didn't have it, I definitely checked it out from the library and burned it. Burned both discs.
Not in a fire, like you copied it.
No. Remember burning CDs?
Our Gen Z listeners, if we have any, might not know what that terminology.
Jesus fucking Christ. What Gen Z listeners? I honestly...
No, we definitely have them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought it was mostly...
It is mostly millennials. But there are some Gen Z people.
Yikes. I used to burn CDs profusely, and I'm sure Rent was one of those things. And for a very long time, Rent was one of my kind of key brand pillars, I would say. It was like Rent, it was Moulin Rouge, and what else did I believe in? Baz Luhrmann. I don't know. I don't know what the third brand pillar is. It'll come back to me. But what about you?
Well, so I might surprise you by saying this, but I don't really fuck with Rent like that.
Right.
I
always think that you're like a super stan.
No.
Like that,
I'm obviously
mixing you up with Charlene. No offense.
No, I'm honestly like I'm. Of course, I'm very familiar with it. I've seen it on Broadway. I've seen the movie. I know the songs. I had the soundtrack, but it's not really my tea with musical theater. I mean, we all know from listening to this podcast, I am a recovering musical theater girly, and I am also somewhat reclaiming it as an adult.
Right.
But I always gravitated towards, you know, more classic musicals and also more bombastic musicals. Like we've talked about, Phantom of the Opera is my favorite musical.
One of your key brand pillars.
Yes. Definitely. And Rent was always a little too poppy for me
as a
teenager.
The pop rap.
Yeah. And I just didn't really form my personality around it the way that a lot of people that I was friends with at the time did. You know, I was much more likely to be listening to the Last 5 Years soundtrack than I was listening to Rent.
What's the Last 5 Years?
The Last 5 Years is a musical by Jason Robert Brown.
Who is that?
He's you wouldn't know him.
Okay.
And,
you said it like it was somebody, though.
I mean, he is somebody, but
if
you're a musical theater girly like that. It's a two-person show about a married couple and the dissolution of their marriage, and it takes place in opposite timelines. So the musical starts from the woman's side with the end of their marriage, and then goes backwards in time. And then the man side starts from the beginning of their courtship and goes forward in time. And they meet in the middle when they get married. And it is incredible music.
Oh.
It's like a really like interesting like storytelling device. Sherry Renee Scott and Norbert Leo Butz were in the original cast. Sherry Renee Scott is like a Broadway legend. And it has some of my favorite songs in musical theater, like A Summer in Ohio, like the Schmuel song. Just kidding. I hate the Schmuel song. It was adapted into a film with Anna Kendrick, which is not a bad movie, but is not like gag worthy. But it's, I think it was only ever off Broadway, but my friends and I were obsessed with it in high school. And I specifically remember, did you ever do one of those all night like cancer walk-a-thon thingies?
Yes, my boyfriend at the time and I jerked each other off in like a Boy Scouts tent.
Okay, so while you were doing that, my friends and I were sitting around like an artificial campfire singing along to The Last 5 Years.
Did you also have to wear t-shirts that said cancer sucks?
No.
Okay, we had these t-shirts that said cancer sucks and all of the proceeds went to cancer.
Not to cancer.
Not pro-cancer, anti-cancer. It was actually to pro-cancer causes. Yeah. People, things giving you cancer. It was like the new North Face. Like, everyone had a Cancer Sucks t-shirt because they came in lots of different colors. And it was, like, really, like, crazy to have the word sucks on a t-shirt and it be, like,
oh,
loud.
Yeah. I mean, that was rebellious as fuck in high school.
Sucks. That is kind of the era of culture that Rent found me. I didn't know that it was an adaptation of La Boheme for a long time.
It is famously an adaptation of the opera La Boheme.
But instead of TB, it's AIDS.
It's AIDS. So for anyone who doesn't know the basic premise of Rent, it's about...
Or La Boheme.
It's about a group of young artists and, like, artist-adjacent people living in New York City in the 90s, bohemians, and they can't pay their rent. Mm-hmm. They live in Alphabet City, which is, you know, downtown on the east side, and a bunch of them have AIDS,
yes.
And the only trans person or, like, genderqueer person is the one who dies of it. There's a performance artist, there's a filmmaker who sells out, there's a straight couple who are the great love story of the piece,
yeah.
Who both have AIDS.
I forgot that they are...
They are the centerpiece of the show, straight couple, yeah.
Why was that?
Because Jonathan Larson, who wrote the music, and this is something that a lot of people, that gets obscured a lot, and, I mean, even when we showed up and we're talking about this, you were like, oh, didn't he die from AIDS? And no, he died from complications from an aneurysm. And he was straight.
Yeah, heterosexual.
Yeah, he was straight.
And unfortunately died the day after the very first dress rehearsal.
He died the morning after the musical's final dress rehearsal. What's your favorite song from Rent?
That's hard. Will you light my candle?
What are you staring at? Nothing. Your hair in the moonlight.
The heterosexual
you look
song.
Familiar. Can you make it? Just haven't eaten much today.
The song
at least
is
the room
bad.
Stopped spinning anyway. What?
Right. Isn't she, like, coked out or something?
She's on heroin.
Oh, heroin?
Yeah.
Oh, that's her
She team. And Roger are both heroin addicts.
Oh. And
they
Roger...
used to tie you up. It's a living.
Doesn't the guy who plays Roger is gay?
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh my God, that's so confusing.
Who went on to star in Aida.
Aida. And then, wait, is this the guy?
Which also has Cher Renee Scott in it, who was in The Last 5 Years.
Oh, of course. I have already told this story, or I've already said in maybe the first season of the pod, that this was definitely one of the things that, like, broke me open. It's, I don't know why I'm only realizing that Moulin Rouge and Rent, which both came into my life around the same time from the same person who was Mel, that bisexual goth I was friends with, in the my best
first
friend's
of
cul-de-sac.
Many,
first of many, in my best friend's cul-de-sac. She showed both of those movies to me, and they're both about bohemians,
and they're both based on La Boheme,
and they're both based. Oh my God, they're both based. And they're both about AIDS.
Well, no. Nicole Kidman is about tuberculosis. No, she has tuberculosis.
She dies from complications
due
to AIDS. She
has consumption.
Not consumption.
That's what they called TB.
You just love saying consumption.
I do love saying consumption.
You love saying
because
consumption. Say it again.
Consumption. Because I do wish that I was like a frail Victorian woman coughing up blood into a handkerchief. Do you want to know what my favorite song from Rent is?
Yes. Forgive me for not asking.
It's Over the Moon.
What?
Which is the...
The song that no one sings? No one's ever heard of? Flop song?
Only thing to do is jump over the moon.
It's not in the movie,
it's
is it?
Idina Menzel, Maureen's character, performing. It's her performance piece that she does in the first act. It's incredibly iconic. It's the one where she moos. Moo with me. Moo with me.
Oh, the performance art moment.
It's incredible. And you have not lived until you've seen Charlene do it at TNT on a Tuesday night.
Moo with me. Char is an actual Rent historian. and yes. knows, like, we actually, should we text her right now? Do you think she's by the studio? She could come, right?
No.
She could actually talk about it for hours.
Well, like, she wrote a piece about Rent Out that I think I commissioned.
I remember this.
Yeah, and it was really great. She is definitely a Rent scholar because it is a very foundational musical for her. And yeah, we should have planned ahead and had her back for this episode, but we didn't. So
we didn't plan ahead at all.
Also, Rent is a Christmas musical.
Right. It is, famously.
The first act takes place on Christmas.
So are you and I going to watch it on December 1st this year?
Maybe. I haven't watched the movie in a couple years.
Same.
So the movie came out when I was in, I guess probably when we were both in high school. It came out on Thanksgiving. I saw it when I was in Connecticut visiting my dad's family for Thanksgiving. And, you know, whenever we did that, there would be one night where we would all go to the movies and no one wanted to see Rent except me. But I bullied my dad into taking me to it.
Gay.
And because it's not like I wanted to see it, but I think the other option was National Treasure. And I did want to see it, because even though I didn't love Rent, like, obviously, I still liked it.
National Treasure is an exquisite film.
I've never seen it.
It's an amazing movie.
But I will say, and I know this is kind of blasphemous, in the years since, I probably have listened to the movie soundtrack more than the OBC.
Yeah, no, I definitely listen to the movie soundtrack.
The OBCR.
The OBCR. The movie soundtrack is good. The movie music is good.
It is. You know,
Rosario
Dawson. I look.
Her voice is so thin.
I love Daphne Rubin Vega, who was the original Mimi. She is iconic both in Rent and in that scene in the first Sex and the City movie where she talks to the girls in the bathroom during the auction.
I just watched the first Sex and the City
She
movie.
Was a smart Rewatch. Girl until she fell in love. But Rosario Dawson, kind of 4+4 that.
Yeah. Wait, what's 4+4? Is this new slang?
8. My sisters said it over the weekend, and I'm now adopting it.
I'm so... The way my eyes are rolling into my skull right now, girl, that is... It's fine.
She got a 4+4 that.
Shut up.
No, but you know that you're now going to say it.
You got a 4+4 that.
And pass it off as your own.
No, I'm not.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the Marine Idina Menzel song? The first one. The Take Me Baby.
Take Me or Leave Me.
That's actually, why didn't I redact what I said earlier. My true favorite song is Take Me Baby or Leave Me. That song fucks.
That song was created to be sung at karaoke by people who are way too into singing it.
Yeah.
As happened famously on an episode of Girls.
Yes!
At Hannah's birthday party when Marnie tried to get her to perform it on stage and she didn't want to. Also, in the first season of Girls, Shoshana asks Marnie if she's ever seen Rent, and she says, of course, it's the whole reason I moved to New York. And that is true for a lot of people, which is crazy because, like, yes, it does glamorize this experience of being, like, poor and, you know, oppressed living in New York City, but it's also, like, not super, it doesn't make it sound super appealing.
No.
Like, sure, La Vie Boheme is a fun group number.
Yeah.
But, you know, the people are like killing dogs and
not paying rent. That's the whole premise of the beginning. They literally are like, we're not going to pay rent. And you're kind of like, okay. Is that the plan?
Okay. Have you ever not paid rent somewhere you lived?
No, I did like ditch a lease and left my roommates at a listing with a lease under my name. And I was just like, just fill my room because the management was unresponsive and just not helpful in doing anything in terms of like getting next people in. They like wouldn't, it was whatever. We had negligent management. So I paid rent. I found a subletter and then I moved on. But I found out that like months or years later, my roommates did not pay that rent in the final months because it was the pandemic. So that might affect my credit score. Anyways, no, that's never happened. But you probably have definitely squatted. Maybe at least once.
Yeah, I have.
Once or multiple times.
Not technically squatting, not squatting in a way where the people I lived with and I said, let's squat, but in a way where I was very broke and did not pay a couple months of rent.
I briefly dated this guy who, have I told you about this guy that I dated who co-wrote musicals with his brother about the Egyptian Revolution?
Why don't you just tell it again?
So I literally like started dating this guy, super hot, unfortunately very straight passing. I had no idea he was gay until we were making out. And then we started to date and I ended up not really liking him, but I was between sublets and I didn't have a place to stay for a month.
Oh, no.
So I dated him for another month so that I could crash in his Upper West Side apartment that his parents paid for. And it was worth it. And why did I bring that up? Oh, because I wasn't paying rent. you know what sucks? Rent. Cancer. Also rent.
Rent sucks.
It has sucked.
Every month when my rent leaves my bank account, a part of my soul leaves my body.
And can I be vulnerable? This year is the first year since 2018 where I've had trouble paying rent. like 2018, I was like starving freelancer, really having trouble making ends meet, digging deep into my savings, like basically was saved by that job at Out Magazine. And now I'm like kind of in the same spot. Rent has really sucked the bone marrow out of my body. And it's so expensive, Rose. Your rent is really good.
Well, it's about to be, it's starting next month. It's going up $200 a month.
Which is not that bad.
It's bad.
It's bad. It's bad.
But it's bad considering nothing has been improved about my apartment.
Right. Did you say that? You never emailed them.
No, I never emailed them.
You should email them.
It's not. It's too late.
It's too late.
I actually still haven't told them that I'm renewing my lease and sent the extra $200 to add to my security deposit. I should do that.
You should just not pay the rate increase.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Just
because I'm not the people in rent.
That's the other. Yeah. I just, what was the plan? Like, what happens after you don't pay? Do you don't pay rent?
You get evicted.
You get evicted? Do you have like squatter's rights? What are squatter's rights?
Look, I know during the pandemic,
we need a housing
there was
lawyer.
A lot of discussion about squatters' rights and landlords. I never really investigated it too deeply because I have an incredible fear of authority.
Yes.
And
right. Shockingly, even though you break every rule.
Yeah. But I also really like following the rules.
Yeah, you do.
So I don't, I've never been in a situation.
You've never been in a situation.
I've never been in a situation. So, yeah, I don't know what happens when you stop paying rent. You, I guess, start singing.
I guess you start singing. You sing don't for the sing. Rent. Well, that is the thing, Rose, is that when you cannot pay with money, you pay with art.
Ugh.
Beautiful, beautiful art. And the landlords in Rent, they go, they look, they took one look at Anthony Rapp and they were like, your voice is so beautiful. Mwah. You don't have to pay rent.
His voice is not beautiful.
Yeah, it's not. But
it's
is
actually
that
pretty grating. Wait, speaking of Anthony Rapp, don't you have tea with him?
I don't have tea. Oh my God. Do I have tea with Anthony Rapp? Not anymore. But one time.
Have you explored each other's bodies?
Yes. No. No.
Have you explored each other's body adi-adis?
He's not my type. I don't go for guys that look like Target models. Like, if you don't have any, like, tattoos
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Like, if you don't have any distinctive features, if you're just, like, a guy, like, I can't see you. But he's a gorgeous, talented man. I'm sure. Anyways, I'm being diplomatic. We got into a fight, I think, around the time that the Charlene piece came out on Out.com. I think it was pegged to that or in relation to that, because I got on my, you know, on my little high horse and tweeted about how the idea of rent was stolen from Sarah Schulman.
Which it was.
Which there's no way to prove that it was fully plagiarized, but I think it's pretty undeniable that he read her text and borrowed a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty easy to look at the facts and say that. So the other thing is like the book that Sarah wrote that he plagiarized was kind of one of her flop books. Like go read like Gentrification of the Mind or something like that. I mean, that book isn't like good, quote unquote. That book just has a lot of like incredible ideas and thought leadership in it, but it's not like an enjoyable read. Actually, I would actually venture to say that Sarah Schulman is maybe one of the most unfunny people on the planet. Like she actually, I'm saying this as an admirer. Like she is a legend, and I would like love to have a body of work like hers one day. But she is so unfun, and she cannot see like because of what she's gone through and what she's reported on, like. You know, if Jonathan Larson's going to steal her play, she's going to never stop talking about it till the end of time. Anyways, I got into a fight with Adam Lambert, Matthew Lambert,
Anthony Rapp.
Anthony Rapp about it on Twitter, of all places, which you disagree, but I say I never really get into spars with people. I will go back and forth. I will like maybe hit back. But I won't go, like, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. And I went, like, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth with Anthony Rapp on Twitter. It was kind of wild.
What a different time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine fighting with someone on Twitter in 2023?
Yes. I just did that. about something else.
Your tea?
No! Phoebe, please bleep. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Phoebe, Phoebe, Phoebe.
Oh, wait. Speaking of Jonathan Larson, did you watch Tick, Tick, Boom when it
came out? No, I heard
it
was amazing.
It's incredible.
Andrew Garfield, 4+4?
He 4+4 that. It's... So I actually maybe liked Tick, Tick, Boom more than Rent in high school. Mm. Featured Amy Spanger, who later went on to star in The Wedding Singer, which I think I have discussed that I saw 8 times on Broadway my freshman year of college.
I don't remember that, but I don't think it needs to be recapped.
But yeah, the movie of it was, I think, so beautifully done.
I've literally never seen The Wedding Singer, just as a side note.
The movie. I think you'd like it.
Okay.
Yeah, you like Adam Sandler?
No, hate.
You like Drew Barrymore?
Love.
Okay.
Love.
Yeah.
I mean, not now that she's a scab. She redacted her scabbery.
Yeah, you would enjoy The Wedding Singer.
Yeah, okay.
Tick, Tick, Boom, exclamation point, the movie was really great. Vanessa Hudgens was so good in it. Mm. Andrew Garfield deserves to have his ass ate always, but especially for that movie.
Once again, is that character gay?
No, he's straight.
Yeah. Because
it's basically an autobiographical musical about Jonathan Larson. I mean, it is an autobiographical musical.
Sorry to make this remark again, but Andrew Garfield insists on playing characters that are not gay for some reason. And it's always like in that Mormon TV show that we watch, the Remember the Mormon Pursuit, mm-hmm. You're like, that character has all the bones, makeup, motivations, and attributes of a gay person. And yet the character is not gay. And that's very surprising to me. This was the same. It's like Matthew Larson, Anthony Larson, Anthony Rapp,
Jonathan Larson.
Jonathan Larson, thank you. I was just rolling through all of the names until I got there. Yeah. Until you got me there.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Larson, also not gay. Kind of wild. And so I guess it makes sense that... Famously straight.
But definitely thought of culturally as gay.
Andrew Garfield is straight, though.
Yes.
He's not like one of those closeted Hollywood types.
I mean, I don't know his tea like that, but to all appearances, he is straight.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know his tea, but I feel like I would know already.
He did... I think the one time that he got sort of minorly canceled was when he said something along the lines of like, I'm gay in everything but having sex with guys. Like it was him trying to be like, I'm like culturally gay. And he really stepped in it with that one. But he's a king.
He is a king.
And
unproblematic king.
Would suck to oblivion.
He used to be a huge crush to me, and now not at all.
Oh, I think he's hotter now than he's ever been. He got some hair plugs. He looks good.
Oh, see, it's not his age that has deterred me. It is my personal taste that has grown. I think that he is still very attractive. He's just not really my type anymore.
He is so fine.
Paying Rent. Wait, what was the other? There was another.
Paying Rent, performance art.
Performance
art. Let's talk about performance art. So as has been somewhat alluded to on other episodes of this podcast, mm-hmm. I have myself dabbled in a bit of performance art.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, at one point in my life, you could say that I was living a life somewhat adjacent to the lives of the characters in Rent.
Oh, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I like considered myself like a starving artist. No, more of a Maureen.
A Maureen.
Although, you know, being friends with Charlene, like I could never actually be Maureen because she is Maureen.
She's always Maureen.
I have made some really bad performance art in my time. I think I mentioned once that at a rave that I threw once, we buried Charlene in a trunk full of dirt in the middle of a dance floor.
Right.
I ate a cow heart once.
Right, I remember the cow heart.
I covered a watermelon in sunscreen and
love
ate
that.
It.
Marina Abramovich, the artist is present.
I wrote some really horrible, you know, spoken word poetry.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
That seems so unlike
that
you.
I then collaborated with a musician to create an original score.
Who was she?
A friend of mine.
Oh, no, I mean, who was she?
Who was she?
Who were you?
Who was she?
Don't say that.
Yeah, this was...
That's so unrecognizable to me.
I know. But you know what? I have been thinking recently that I do miss some of that fearlessness to look stupid.
Are you saying you miss the stage?
No, I don't miss
the... Are you saying you miss the glamour?
I do not miss I do not miss a life on the stage.
O-U-S.
Yes, sorry.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As cringy as it can be to think about, oh my God, I did that in public. And it's actually more embarrassing sometimes. It's less embarrassing to think about the times when I did it in like a warehouse full of thousands of people. It's more embarrassing to think about the times that I did it at like Macri Park on a Wednesday while like six people were there. That is like a lot cringier.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel pretty punk.
Part of
having done that.
That's the history. I was literally just talking about, so I conducted an interview with Connie Fleming on Friday for the Trans Oral History Project.
Cool.
Iconic door girl, if you don't know her. I mean, she's a model, she's a muse, Mugler, Vivienne Westwood, but also like very infamously an iconic door girl.
Yeah, sickening. Sickening New York City nightlife legend.
And we don't use the word iconic lightly. Very intentional with the use of the word icon, even though it is overused these days. And in interviewing her, I was just talking about how there is such a massive body of work in nightlife that goes completely undocumented. Not in the history, not in the art world, like not in the echelon or ancestry of like queer art or art in general, especially when it comes to like drag artistry, it's like unrecorded. And some of this stuff, like, I mean, pre-iPhone is like lost to eternity because no one there, all they had was the experience of it. And now,
which I do kind of love.
I kind of miss that.
I always really liked the ephemerality of nightlife.
Yeah, I think that's something that makes it really special and precious, if not like mystical, that those are things, that those were experiences created by and for queer and trans people, the most marginalized in New York nightlife, club kids, etc. And it was all like literally just for that one night, just for the six people you performed to at TNT, right? And how, like, in the grand scheme of, like, what something like Rent is trying to teach us, that's, like, even more depressing thinking about all the artists from that generation that have, like, unfortunately died. And now they're not a part of the cultural conversation the way someone like a Sarah Schulman might be or other kind of AIDS generation artists. But I'm really, I mean, I don't know if I'm happy or sad that, like, now everything is recorded on an iPhone, and so now all drag performances in the history of forever will be documented in time somehow. But they're not, like, collated. They're not, like, put in a book. They're not put in museums. And they really should be. Because, like, not to go there, but, like, a lot of, I know you didn't do drag, like, specifically, but, like, a lot of drag art, like, is way more interesting than, like, what Marina Abramović is doing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I did stuff that was drag adjacent. I'm very grateful that most of the public art I made was pre-transition.
Uh-huh.
So if someone were to share it, it would be kind of an act of violence.
Yes, love that.
And also, I deleted my Facebook in 2015. So much of what I shared myself is just gone of my own volition. But I do, you know, I have things saved.
In the vault.
You know, maybe one day I'll do a retrospective.
Retrospective?
I don't know that I would ever, like, make performance art again.
Would you ever be on the stage?
We have been on the stage, girl.
That's different. That's us.
Yeah, but
it is like a performance. But
when I was performing as me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you eat a cow heart at one of our podcast recordings, then, you know, maybe I'll be convinced. But I want to see you. What I'm really trying to
you
get
you
want
to see me in Rent, the musical?
I want to see you eat a cow heart again. In full drag. I want to see you covered in blood.
I've been covered in blood many times, and I have lost many venue security deposits over spilling various things on
electrical
surfaces.
Equipment. You're breaking one of Charlene and Carmen's cardinal rules of nightlife performance, which is don't get the
make
stage
a mess
messy.
On stage, girl. Where do you think that rule originated? My friend Paul, who I used to throw parties with, he performed as his alter ego, Boy Wolf, and he used to, I don't think he started this, but there are definitely, I remember sort of a fad for this happening. He always used to put a tarp out on stage before he would perform because he did a lot of stuff with food. It would get very messy. And so that kind of became a thing. Like when you were when you were at a party in Brooklyn and you saw a tarp coming out, you were like, oh, great, here we go again.
Prepare the blood.
Prepare the milk. Prepare
yeah, the milk.
Prepare the like fake vomit.
The flour.
Or like, oh, what a, yeah. I mean,
like bread flour.
Look. I've put down a few tarps in my time, and
I just put a tarp down last night. I want to kill myself. I haven't come in like 8 days.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I came yesterday, but it was the first time I had come in like a week because I was home visiting my family and just not. Coming.
Yeah, just
not coming. Coming.
Well, tonight, I want to lay down the tarp, honey. It's disgusting. Actually, like, my...
That should be a new thing we do. Like, you text me, you're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm laying down the tarp.
What are your... Okay.
I used to own so many tarps that used to be in my apartment at all times.
That's really funny.
I used to own so many tarps.
Too many tarps! Too many tarps! Well, now I'm going to put a tarp down every time I have sex. Is there anything you, like, need to masturbate? Do you need, like, a candle, like, a special candle or...
No.
Or, like, some, like, music or, like, quiet? Doesn't need to be quiet.
I need my imagination.
Your imagination.
And friction.
And some written erotica.
and Uncle Ronnie's New Whore.
No!
No, girl, I read Uncle Ronnie's New Whore, like, pretty recently.
Did it hold up?
It holds up. It holds up. Except they use condoms in it.
That's hot.
No.
Safety is hot.
I mean, we are talking about rent.
I love condoms. I literally love condoms. I will.
What?
I will constantly advocate for a condom.
Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't have safe sex, but we do live in the era of PrEP. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I...
And in fiction, in erotica... You should not be using condoms.
Well, I have been. I mean, this is okay. That's true. That's true. That's true. No,
like I was trying to justify sometimes I'll read fan fiction about, like, you know, like this crazy scenario that would never happen, and they will be like, oh, let me put a condom on.
He put the condom on his tentacle.
Like, girl, girl, fuck you. I'm gonna kill myself.
That's kind of wild. I like condoms. I don't know why. I think there's something nice about. I think. Well, I mean, if there's a mess, like, it's less to worry about. But also, like, I mean,
Have you ever jerked off into a condom?
Yes, of course. When I was younger.
Yeah, me too. As a teenager.
But now I have been having sex with people with uteruses, where, like, for some, not all, but some of them, it's like I would prefer to use a condom for, like, whatever reason.
Yeah.
But also, a lot of those people, like, can't get pregnant anyway, so
yeah. And can you even impregnate someone at this point?
I can. I still have quite a lot of, I mean, not a lot, less than I used to, but I definitely could. I mean, I don't know that for sure. I could be completely infertile and not know.
I think you're shooting blanks.
I know. I'm not yet. I've been monitoring it because
do you want to try to get me pregnant?
No.
Tonight? Let's have a baby.
Not shooting,
and we'll
blanks.
Name it Phoebe.
The way this devolved. So nicely, honestly.
Yeah, perfect.
Anyways, let's not pay rent this month.
I'm never paying rent again. Actually, no, I will be paying an extra $2 in rent. But my little...
Pony?
My little pony. My little way of fighting the system is that I have my auto pay set up to pay on the 5th of the month.
Oh.
And that's my way to stick it to the man. Protest. They have to wait an extra 5 days to get my money.
Yeah, the man. And for the record, virgins, we as a podcast know that all landlords are bad. Unless, of course, either Rose and I decide to be one.
No, we're not becoming landlords.
You've alluded many times to potentially becoming
no.
And
no.
As have I, on the podcast. On
you
the
have.
Record,
I believe that about
we
you.
We both said this on the record, Rose. We are off key.
So we just, Loretta LLC just bought a building that we will be renovating and turning into artist lofts.
Yeah, bohemian living spaces,
yes.
Co-ops. I was going to say sex parties, but we can't. We don't have the infrastructure for that.
No, girl, I haven't been to a sex party in so long.
I would like to maybe go to one.
I got invited to go to a queer romantic comedy play that is being performed at a sex club.
But there's no, it's not a sex party.
I don't know. I have to investigate further.
One of the people that I'm having sex with is a facilitator of a sex party. And he frequents this other, I don't think he would mind, whatever. He frequents this sex party where it's called Studs and Mares.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know I'm a horse girl.
You are a horse girl. And so, the bottoms are the mares, and they don't wear pants, and they, like, all stand in a line, like, bent over when, like, the studs walk in and do whatever they want to the mares that are, like, lined in their stables, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was telling me, I think this is a really good idea. He was like, I want to have a reverse studs and mares party where, like, it's about the studs, and you walk in, and it's all of these tops with, like, Viagra'd out penises.
And you just mount them.
And they're the ones that are getting used. I think that's amazing.
And they don't wear pants, but they do wear shirts.
They're just dildos. Yeah.
That's called, the technical term is shirt cocking.
Oh,
when you wear a pant.
Oh, I thought it was called.
When you wear a shirt, but no pants.
I thought
pants.
It was a Winnie the Poohing.
No, it's shirt cocking.
Shirt cock.
Shirt cocking. No matter what genitalia you have, it's called
always
shirt cocking. So slide into our DMs at likeavirgin42069. Let us know how much your rent is. what's your favorite song from Rent? We didn't even really talk about Idina Menzel that much, but we've talked about Idina Menzel.
We have.
A lot.
At length.
At length in the past.
She used to be the only person we followed on Instagram.
And now the only person we follow on Instagram is Sally Field?
Yeah, we need to change that.
We do need to change
that. Wait,
who's
the next? Well, third season, tell us. Who do you want us to follow
on Instagram next? Yeah. Also, you can become a patron at patreon.com/likeavirgin.
And remember, this is the last time for the season where you will get us in the main feed. So we are taking a break. We will be right back. But for now, we will continue to publish episodes on the Patreon. So go subscribe over there at patreon.com/likeavirgin.
And as always, thanks to producer Phoebe. And, ciao for now. Au revoir.
Ciao for now.
And now, a clip from our Patreon. Become a patron at patreon.com/likeavirgin for weekly bonus episodes and more. Mwah. So the seasons I've watched are Murder House, Asylum, Coven, Freak Show. I watched half Hotel. I watched half of Roanoke. I watched the first...
What's Roanoke?
It's the season where they flip it halfway through and it turns out what you've been watching is a TV recreation of something that happened. I watched the first couple episodes of Cult. I watched the entirety of Apocalypse.
Oh my god.
I watched the entirety of 1984.
Oh my god.
Which 1984 is actually pretty good because it's very tight. Okay. I didn't watch Double Feature, and I'm currently watching Delicate. So I've actually watched most of the show.
Do you feel like Delicate is... So I having not seen all of the other series, do you feel like Delicate is kind of different from the rest of the franchise?
It feels smaller.
Yeah, the world is smaller.
Usually, American Horror Story has lots of competing storylines, and that's part of why a lot of the seasons are flawed, is because... Mm. The ones that you're more interested in don't get as much time, or they drop them or merge them in weird ways. Mm. I like how tight Delicate is focused on this one character and her story, which I think has maybe happened over the past couple years. Probably in a lot of ways because of the budget, they can't spend as much on all these actors. Because even think about Delicate, it has, obviously, having Kim Kardashian is a gag, but it doesn't have, the huge gaggy cast that previous seasons have had.
But Kim K is playing the same function as Gaga in Hotel, to me. It's just, gag casting. Sorry. Not a great actress.
I disagree.
I'm sorry. I think she's
so great.
I think that Gaga is better than Kim K, but I do think that...
Well, you haven't seen Hotel.
I've seen a lot of clips of Hotel, okay? I think that Gaga's acting ability has significantly improved since Hotel.
I don't know. Okay. I think it's pretty much the same.
She was basically playing the same character. Okay, so more on Kim K. You think she's eating? I think she's eating.
I think she's incredible.
The thing is, to me, obviously, when Kim K's on screen, I'm not evaluating her acting. I was just saying that because, I was trying to think about them playing the same function as stunt casting in this series. But I'm not evaluating Kim's acting. She's just a gag. And I think that, honestly, the flatness with which she delivers a lot of her lines in a Kardashian-esque way... works really well for the
perfect
affect of a publicist. This is what a publicist would sound like. It's kind of working.
It's the episode where they go to the Gotham Awards and Emma Roberts vomits during her speech. And then the next day, she wakes up in her bed in the morning and Kim is laying in bed next to her under the covers with her face fully beat. I just started cackling. Like, it's so insane.
Like a mug stamped.
It's so, but she's so good. And like the way she delivers the lines is so, you're right, it is incredibly flat, but yeah, it's really funny.
It works.
And yeah, it works. Like, you're never not aware that this is Kim Kardashian, but like that works.
And do you want to know a bit of a bummer? The ending has been spoiled for me because I knew someone who worked on it. So I think the ending, no, I won't spoil it for you, but I think the ending is a gag. And I think that understanding, obviously Kim K is giving villain energy from jump. I'm not saying that she's like the big bad, but I will say that a lot of the ways that all these different things pull off and the way that Kim K pulls into like what is at stake here in the show is really good. What do you think is happening with her baby? What are some fan theories that you might have?
I don't know about fan theories because it's not like I've
you're
been
like, I'm not a fan.
It's not like I've been going and looking. Yeah. I mean, you know, the clearest, this is obviously very much modeling itself after Rosemary's Baby.
Right,
that's
which I've
like
never
very
seen.
Much the, a big inspiration for this. So my guess was knowing that you find out in the first episode that Kim and Emma met in a fertility group. So I think that possibly like this baby is being like grown and harvested for Kim.
Right.
And Emma is the vessel.
Okay. That's okay. Okay. Love that.
But I also don't know because the thing is with American Horror Story, they could start out with one intention and then halfway through the season completely abandon that and decide to do something else. Like with Coven, they had no idea who the Supreme was when they started the season.
Oh, really?
And there are so many moments of fake outs where they like try to hedge towards someone. Like Tessa Farmiga is clearly supposed to be like the one who might be the new Supreme in the beginning of the season. And then by the end, like it being Sarah Paulson comes out of totally left field.
Right.
So, and also, you know, we only are getting, for now, we're only getting part one of Delicate because that's all that was filmed before the strikes.
Right.
So, you know, when they go back, they might decide to like change the whole thing.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.